Right now, I want you to get in your Bibles, and I want to teach you about effective interaction with God and prayer that makes a difference. Prayer that makes a difference. Ephesians 6:18 is a great starter. It talks about all manner of prayer. Prayer is our communion and connection with God. And last Friday, I talked to you about the prayer life of God's Son. And my goal is results. I'm preaching for results. I'm preaching to stimulate faith. I'm preaching to impart hope into you. I'm preaching to stimulate your thinking along the lines of the payoff of God's presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. When you draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, you obtain mercy and you find grace to help in the time of need. And Jesus often slipped away and had this and maintained this connection of fellowship with the Father. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. In John chapter 4, he said, my fruitfulness, my joy, my sense of vibrancy in life, my meat, my nutrition is to do the will of the Father. And Paul preaches to the church in Ephesus this really powerful thing. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert for all the saints. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. With what in view? With the idea that as we pray, we get results. Listen, my Christianity, I lead a Bible-based life. I want Bible results. If you want biblical results, do biblical things. If you want to see a return for your efforts, then go into and identify this word as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And like Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me and learn from me. A lot of people don't bother to come to Jesus, and therefore they don't learn from Jesus. But we, as we draw near to him, the Bible promises he'll draw near to us. That's my prayer for this meeting tonight. That's my prayer for this moment right now. And in fact, part of my preaching for results is I'm confident that the Holy Spirit, because he's our teacher, will customize and adapt these things to you and your particular personhood, you as an individual. This is the God I know, that in a meeting like this with this many hundreds of people, he will funnel his blessing to you and address your situation. I believe God will minister some things to you. I believe some of you will say, you know what, I just read that verse this morning, or I just prayed this prayer on the way to church, or prophetically, 2 or 3 days from now, you'll say, that's exactly what I needed. You know, that is due in no part to some sort of wisdom of men or any of that kind of thing on my part. It's by the leadership and the design of this teacher, Jesus. He said, come to me and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. I will give you supernatural fortification where you will be effective. So I want results in prayer. Now, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus himself, and we learn from Jesus, Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village. And then it says, the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. This is essentially what I want to get over to you. When we pray, the Bible says in Mark 11, 24, we believe, we receive. It's a moment where we step into God's presence, like it says in Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus said to us that we're to come into his presence in the certain attitude. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, turn off your cell phone, get rid of every distraction, and pray to your Father who is in secret. God is not hiding from us, he's hiding for us, and he is interested in investing in seekers. He does not appreciate apathy. The Bible says in Proverbs that the complacency of fools shall destroy them. And that one of the aspects of hatred is indifference, and it's apathy. I think about the people during Jesus' ministry that didn't even bother to go and pay any attention to him. They were there. They just didn't even pay any attention. They walked by. And I think it's amazing that that would happen. But when people turn to the Lord, the Bible says the veil is removed. There's a result. There's a payoff. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And having the need to have been rescued several times in my life now, I really deeply appreciate the concept of rescue, particularly being saved from the impossible, insurmountable obstacle of sin that no one can work their way out of, no one can earn their way out of, no one can talk their way out of, nobody can be witty about it, nobody can be sly about it. We're stuck. One time I stepped in a dry lake, and I was walking on the top of the mud had cracked, and they looked like giant sort of potato chip kind of geometric looking potato chip kind of little concave, cool looking. Well, it looked like I should walk on them. So I got out there and I walked on them, and I was having so much fun on the edge. It was fine. I had a pair of low top Converse, and I was having a really good time until I got out toward the middle, and then I slipped off one of them in between the cracks, and then I found underneath the dry mud, it was some sort of liquid quicksand mud, super glue, epoxy, death grip, and I never got my shoe back. There is a beautiful, original, made in the U.S., Chuck Norris would want that shoe, stuck in the mud, and I could never recover that shoe. Society is stuck in the mud, and only Jesus can come and pull us out. Only Jesus can pull us out, and he will. But I want to show you Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, because this essentially is what I want to say. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will, look at this, reward you. There's an outward reward for that moment done in the secret place with God. It says in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says in Isaiah 45:3 that there are hidden riches in his secret places. And he says, am I not a God who hides himself? So he's giving us incentive. Do you ever play hide and seek? It's one of my most fun things growing up with my children is count to 10, don't peek, and then find ridiculous places to hide, you know. And I would actually sneak by them and hide in their room. I'd get up on their bed and I would lay as flat as I could and I would put the pillows around and they would have been right there. And then they'd look everywhere else. And then finally I'd go, I'm in here. I'm in here. And then they come in and then I get quiet and I wouldn't move. I hold my breath. I guess that's how I became a free diver, breath hold. I would hold my breath and I wouldn't move. I would lay as flat as I could. They would sometimes sit on the edge of the bed and they'd be frustrated. Where is he? Dad, where are you, Dad? And I wouldn't say anything because they were too close. And but then finally I would say, I'm right here. And they, oh! And they go, where, when did you get there? It's a secret. I had so much fun with that and I was so good at it. It's fun. And it seems that God is interested in the pursuit, and he stimulates these by showing and providing a results-oriented idea that, hey, you do this, you're going to see it in outward display. And here's what I think about this. Daniel 11:32, Daniel talked about the people that know their God shall be strong, and they'll do exploits. And exploits are these divine moments customized for each one of us. For you and me, for us collectively, there are church exploits God is launching us into as a church. I long for those. For you as an individual, I pray your life is just so peppered with these exploits. Because I think, you know, the life is two parts. It's tedious, day in and day out, sunrise, sunset. It's plodding. And much of our lives are invested in the simplicity of just daily abiding and living. And we are to not underestimate the value of the beauty of simple daily living. Daily living is not something to be disgusted with. We live in a world that is addicted to activity and is hyped up and is sensational. And even we in the church, we can get so blasé about our daily life and craving all these fantastic things that we can get so caught up in the hype of a thing, we could miss the supernatural of the daily life. Much of the best stuff that will happen in your life and mine is actually laced throughout the simplicity of our daily life. I think Jesus is an example of going from village to village and being at a well and just saying to a lady, hey, can you get me some water? And just a whole city becomes saved through the simple act of, hey, can I have some water? I mean, there are exploits actually invested in and embedded in places that a lot of people would just overlook. So I think that life is the daily grind, and it's also the quantum leap. I think that there are amazing supernatural events that will happen, but there also is an amazing supernatural process that is happening. And we must not disregard the process and obsess on the event. And we must not also be so blasé about life that when the event comes, we're ill-prepared. I'm convinced that a good prayer life gets us prepared for the potential of these contacts. I've had a lot of them that I'm happy to announce I was ready for and I hit. And then I've had some where I was so numb and dull, I missed them. And I'm disappointed and grieved to say that I missed them. But to be faithful shepherd and to be true as a speaker, I must not embellish and edit out the difficult things and the disappointing things. I must show forth the whole counsel of God, and I must share the full spectrum of things. I want to raise the standard, and I want to tell you that as I'm preaching, my preaching is aimed for the result of you being a bit more tuned in, a bit more receptive. This will help you and give you incentive about the life of prayer. It won't be like, I gotta pray, I'm a Christian, I have to pray. No, because you're a Christian, you connect with God, you voice things, you learn things, you see things, you're in touch with God, you're intuitive, you're perceptive. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I remember with sadness when John F. Kennedy Jr. crashed the plane in 1999, and in the aftermath of his death, he, with his wife and then his sister-in-law, an amateur pilot named Stephen Hedges, wrote about the difficulty of flying a plane by instruments alone, a necessary skill if you want to fly at night or in the fog. By the way, our boat crashed in the dark, and we had instruments, and we still aren't quite sure what happened, but I'm grateful we all survived. Hallelujah. Without this skill, it is easy for a pilot to fall into an uncontrolled bank and crash. I'm going to talk to you about this point I want to make to you, that you are designed, you are hardwired, and you have been gifted with equipment to perceive and pick up the leadership of the God who sees in secret. As you are invited into these moments in secret, don't underestimate the power that gets built up in you. The Bible says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, keeping yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Spirit. Jude 20, it strengthens you. It fortifies you. It prepares you. During one instrument lesson, Hedges noted, I flew the headings and turns as instructed, but even with 10 hours of instruction, instrument flying in my logbook, I was amazed at how quickly the plane slid into a banking turn if I diverted my attention for just a few moments. The first time it happened, a pang of panic shot through me, a momentary fear that made it even more difficult to comprehend what the plane was doing. But when he heard his instructor next to him calmly say, watch your bank, Hedges quickly leveled the plane. A lot of people call God my co-pilot. That's ridiculous. God is the pilot. He's the airplane. He's the fuel. He's the map. If God's your co-pilot, change seats, I heard somebody say. But Hedges was comforted by his instructor. The voice of his, you know, it reminds me of the scripture. There's a voice that'll come behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So much uncertainty in life. Matthew 6:6 is so pertinent. Come to me, get in your closet, close the door, crowd out the weapons of mass distraction, cultivate moments. And I love what Pastor Chuck Swindoll said in his practicality. He's a little bit older than me, and he's lived a bit more life, and he was ahead of me, and when I was young, I appreciated his mentorship in his teaching, and he talked about how you could take minute vacations of fine-tuning with God. Brother Lawrence wrote a book about practicing the presence of God, and he was a guy that his religious order he was a participant in all these guys got to have these hours and hours in the chapel, and he was designated to do the cleaning in the kitchen, and he learned how to fellowship with God while he was peeling potatoes. And this, to me, helps with the daily grind of life, and this helps me to understand those moments we capture, those moments we take advantage of while we're driving, while we're cleaning the kitchen, while we're getting the kids ready for school, those moments of just connecting and acknowledging God. They're cumulative. They have a building, momentum-producing impact. They sensitize us. They sharpen us. They strengthen us. There's a, I'm convinced, a cumulative effect to it. And when Jesus says, go into your closet, close the door, and you think about the Father who sees in secret will reward you, one translation says will reward you openly, then I think what this is saying is, hey, develop your instrument rating, develop your sensitivity, learn how to navigate in the secret place, learn how to connect with God. It's available to all of us. This isn't some sort of mystic thing for an elite few. This is for all believers. In fact, John chapter 10, he says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit, it's good that I go, but it's to your advantage. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to do this. He's going to guide you and lead you into all the truth. So we have a reliable source, the Holy Spirit. We can draw near to God the Father on the basis of faith in the name of Jesus. The Good Shepherd is always going to lead us and guide us in wisdom. He's always going to lead us and guide us gently. He's always going to lead us and guide us into fruitfulness. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We know not how to pray as we ought, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. But the Holy Spirit helps us with groanings too deep for words, with inarticulate speech. That's what I believe that's a definite reference to praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. I believe it's such a strengthener. It's such an advantage. And also we can develop and cultivate a sensitivity to that still small voice. This is not clairvoyance. This is not psychic. This is not that type of sixth sense stuff. It's none of that. It's a simple response. Our spirit connecting with the Holy Spirit. We are a spirit being. God made us in his image. It says in Romans 8 that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. Something resonates in us that we have confidence before the throne of God, that we're saved by grace, that we're connected with God, and the devil who tries to accuse and intimidate can't shake that. We have unshakable confidence because we know what the scriptures say. We have our instrument rating, and though we're flying in the dark per se, his word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. There are a lot of times in a Christian life when we're forced to fly in fog or at night or in the dark in pitch black, when it's hard to get our bearings, when we can't see the horizon, we're not sure what's coming up next, but we get the perspective necessary to stay level. At such times, it's doubly important to keep our eyes fixed on God's guiding word and to stay attentive to his calming guidance. His word, Psalm 119, verse 89, verse 105, is a lamp unto our feet. It's forever settled in heaven. It's a light to our path. The Bible says the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And their voice, his Holy Spirit, can and will always guide us into all the truth. Let me just say this because I'm an equipper, and a big part of my orientation as a pastor and a speaker is I advocate the idea of connecting you with God, wanting to use you to interface with people in your sphere that need what you have. I feel burdened every time I preach to advocate for the people that you are responsible to love and care for and minister to that aren't saved. I pray that you would be equipped. And like it said, Paul told Timothy that for church, for Christians, we're to do the work of an evangelist. Let our work be evangelistic in nature, meaning we're carrying this good news and this possibility of praying people into the kingdom, praying people out of darkness, loving people. And you know, I've been studying the Bob Yandian book on Galatians. You know, he kind of diffuses the hyper-obligation that legalism imposes on us. Well, you need to pray, so you're not praying enough.
You need to be a Bible student, so you're not reading the Bible enough. You need to be a soul winner, so you're not doing a good job. You're not sharing. You need to. The other day, I got really compelled to witness to somebody, and I told Patsy, I said, I'm feeling like I need to drive over and talk to this guy. And Patsy's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. She's an ultra soul winner, and she always and only wants to help me not to suppress whatever God's telling me to do. I wanted her to help me pray about it because I just kept feeling and sensing. And I knew the devil was trying to agitate me to lunge into something. And there wouldn't have been much grace on it. There wouldn't have been much grace on it. And it probably, maybe wouldn't have been there, or maybe it would have just been awkward. So that's what I feel like when we get in the secret place with God, he'll tune us up on that. On the same hand, he'll say, now's the time. Talk to this person. One time I was at work and the Lord said to me, talk to your boss about Jesus. You know, the next day he got transferred to Hawaii. Now, let me tell you as a pastor, don't preach to your boss. Well, Pastor Jeff, you said God told you. You preach to your boss, you might get a pink slip. So you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't be flaky or goofy. The devil will try to get us to be wild, a wild-eyed fanatic, or as cold as a hound dog's nose. But he doesn't like us to be balanced. He'd rather have us be hyper-flaky or dull as a bag of hammers. Jesus, however, is so skillful. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He'll make you extremely precision effective. You will become the sharpest tool in the shed. You will be strengthened with might and power by his Spirit in the inner man. You will be roused to know the Master's voice. You won't fly upside down and crash. You will be led by the Holy Spirit. This is possible. Hallelujah. But we've got to get our focus, and we've got to eliminate distraction. Let me just tell you another thing. When animal trainers go into a cage of lions, they carry whips and pistols, but invariably they also carry a stool. They carry a stool. According to William H. Hinson, who I guess is proficient in lion taming, he said, the stool is the most important tool. Say that. The stool is the most important tool. Where's minister? We could do a rap here. The trainer holds the stool by the seat of the stool and thrusts the legs toward the face of the wild animal. The animal tries to focus on all the legs at once. In the attempt to focus on all legs, a kind of paralysis overwhelms the animal. It becomes tame, weak, disabled because its attention is fragmented. Likewise, the stress of having too much to do can paralyze us. That's why Matthew 6:6 is so premium here. I want you to look back at this again and allow yourself permission to carve out moments, take minute vacations, connect with God, and pray. Not if, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Now you say, oh, I don't have a room in my house for this. I live in a one-room studio apartment, and I have two roommates, and they're loud and obnoxious. I have nowhere to hide. I have nowhere to go. Jesus would often slip away. Jesus even didn't have the luxury. He didn't have a place to lay his head, and the foxes have holes and so forth. The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So even on his traveling, in going into strange towns and going into difficult places, this must be not some sort of little prayer, special geographical prayer grotto. This must have been a concept or an attitude, because he was a mover. Like, we are all on the move. We're a busy culture. And this verse does not just mean for the contemplative ones of the Middle East 2,000 years ago. This pertains to you as fresh as it is today. Put your phone aside. Get rid of all the legs of the stool. Get your eyes fixed on him. Connect with him. Take a deep breath. Father, I submit to you today. You drive somewhere. Turn the motor off. Turn the radio off. Before you lunge out to the next thing, just stop. Have a 30-second, 45-second moment. Father, I thank you. Before you go to a medical appointment, stop for a second. Let's pray. Before you make a phone call, Lord, how would you have me deal with this? What would you have me do? Even when I went out, when the multiple times I've gone out in the fishing boat to go out and lobster dive, we grabbed each other, we prayed, and we thanked God for safety and protection.
I suppose that's why we're here. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And he covered us. He's been so good to us. My viewpoint, church here, 25, we're in our 26th year. Just how God led us into this building. I was not at a spiritual height. I was nervous. I was feeling the weight of the world, but we prayed. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest. Prayer meetings aren't always, I'll strut in there and do our thing. It's just like, God, I'm desperate for you. Sometimes when we pray, it's like you're cleaning the kitchen and you're preoccupied, but you just for a moment, God, I invite you into this situation. You'll perfect that which concerns me. That whenever we're worried, we're to cast all of our anxieties on you. See, here's the devil's strategy. He's like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith. And the way he tries to devour us is with anxieties, because it says in verse 7, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. And this is what I think the invitation in Matthew 6 is all about. Come to me when you're weary, heavy laden. Moms, it's ridiculous how much multifaceted responsibility you carry. Guys, we got men's men in our church, and I honor you guys. I honor the men in here, and I understand the station of manhood in the 21st century. I understand the role we're to play, and it's not for the faint of heart. We're basically all called to an instrument rating. We're all called to a higher level, and this is what I'm preaching. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And there is a byproduct of salvation, of conversion, that when you're in Christ, you're a new creation, and you get spiritually activated, you don't have to be led by the flesh. You don't have to be led by the impulses of your desires. You don't have to be addicted to instant gratification. You can live a life where you wait upon the Lord. You can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You can discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, not by your human might or by your power, but by his Holy Spirit. And that's the beauty of it. That's where it's not just the self-help concept. It's helping yourself to how good God is, and that though come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and you're not all that, and I'll give you rest. I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Get in my yoke and just watch what I can achieve through your lifespan. Watch how I protect you through the decades. Watch how I turn your mourning into dancing. Watch how I cause all things to work together for your good, because you love me and you're called according to my purposes. You're called. You're called. You don't need to figure out all the semantics of the calling. You're called to a close walk with God. You're called to create an atmosphere where you get results in prayer. You're called to walk in the Spirit where the healing power of God is present, where the life-changing power of Jesus is available to you. Not every day. We're not called to browbeat or beat people over the head. We're not called to go out and be religious nerds, but we're also not called out to privatize this and live in a bubble. God has anointed us for close connection with each other, but then also amazing bridge building into engagement with our lost world. And this is not easy. This takes us drawing near to God, and the Father that sees in secret will reward us openly. He'll give us amazing guidance. That's how I think Daniel thrived in Babylon. That's how I believe Joseph thrived in Egypt. That's how I believe Moses was able to motor through the wilderness and Joshua was able to take this thing across the Jordan and bust into the promised land. That's how I believe Paul and Peter, with such different callings, were able to impact the Roman world, were able to bring the gospel to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And I'm trusting God for each one of you to become so saturated and so fortified with the power of the Holy Spirit that you move over into those exploits, that even in your daily grind life, you're just so peaceful and you've got so much joy, you've got so much strength, so much contentment. Godliness is a means of great gain when it's accompanied with contentment. You throw your shoulders back. You hold your head high. You're honored to be a Christian. You're not ashamed of the gospel. You know it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. Everywhere you go, signs and wonders follow you. Goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. What's going ahead of you? Righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. What's that? I want to find out. What's that look like? I want to live it out where I actually see it. And I want you to see it. I'm not just content for me to see it. I want to see it break out on every single solitary one of you on a phenomenal level.
I want to see the power of God come into your life. And it's not something we have to whip up. It's not something we try to manufacture. It's not something that eludes us. It's something God has hidden for us. And he says, hey, come over here. Look, I've been watching these programs where these men spend millions of dollars on equipment, bunch of gristly guys, and they go out. Now this one of my new shows, they get these vacuum cleaners and these divers go up into the Bering Sea and they dive under the ice and they hunt for gold. And there was one guy that got his girlfriend sent down this bag and air, and he blew up this air bag with a nylon strap and picked up this big, like two-ton boulder. Everybody else was looking around for gold, and he said, I know there's gold under that, and I brought this extra equipment. It cost me more, but I know how to get the gold. And he picked this thing up, and there was gold laying all, and it more than paid for the next day's dredging. And I just thought, I like that. I like that adventurous soul. I like people getting out there with their craggy beards and their attitudes. And I love the hunt. I love the passion on these guys to get out off the couch and go out there on the adventure and try to go live the dream and go get the gold. And there's souls that are pure gold. There are moments that are designed to define your future. There are encounters that God has created you for, that you can just get with him and your steps are ordered by him. It's fantastic. And you'll find somebody that's discouraged and you won't even know it. And you'll say a few things. And maybe you'll buy him a cup of coffee. So now I already paid for it. What? What? And you just go away. You didn't know they had been crying for the last 7 days, overcoming depression, feeling like their life has fallen apart. You didn't know it. You may never know it. This is the thing about my testimonies. Most of our amazing testimonies, we won't know till we get to heaven. So my boat thing, I think if I had walked it out a little bit differently, I would have passed it. I would have had no indication that I survived a boat wreck because I would have survived it on a higher level of survival, never having been in it. But since I was in it, I have this testimony, so I come back and return from this moment and say, hey, God delivered me. Wow, that's a testimony. But I believe we've had some amazing testimonies that we're like, what? That God just delivered us from and just covered it? When you're a believer, you have conviction. You believe there's a God. You believe in Jesus. Let me see a show of your hands. Have unshakable faith. Don't get in unbelief. Don't get in doubt. Nobody's talked you into it, so nobody can talk you out of it. It's a gift. Faith comes by hearing the word. Something spiritual has germinated in you and me. This isn't just like blind obeisance. I'm part of this thing. I'm a lemming. No, we're followers of a Savior who is reliable. His word is sure. The Holy Spirit only always guides us into all the truth. And he is faithful, faithful, faithful. You can do this thing. He said, my sheep know my voice. You're designed for this. You can do this. You can overcome the weapons of mass distraction. You could focus on what matters most and keep the big deal the big deal. There are techniques you can develop to overcome the weapons of mass distraction. You could conquer this in your thought life. Get in the secret place. Leave your cell phone. Turn things off. Tune in. Do it at home. If you have a room at the house, close the door. Spend time with God. I've been recently using a room that's got nice lighting and a good seat. I can just connect with God, and I've had good moments in there. But I've also stood in the kitchen and just connected with God. In the car, we prayed all the way here. Picked things up in my spirit. It prepared me in secret for what was going to happen in public. I was able to walk through some of these things. And see, I'm grateful the mentors I had did not create a guru atmosphere around themselves of unattainable high-level superiority. I'm grateful that I had people who said, hey, I'm an ordinary person. God's touched my life. He's activated these things. The Holy Spirit wants us to covet these spiritual gifts. It's available for all of us as the Spirit wills, but we are to covet them and seek them. And God wants to lavish amazing things. There are, I'm certain, gifts that differ, but it's all for the same purpose. By me saying this, you know, I understand my role of equipping is very, very, it's becoming increasingly important. The goal I have for tonight is that you are equipped and made aware. Your takeaway is, you know what? When I pray, I obtain things. As I get with God, He sees in secret. He does stuff to me, some of which I don't even sense. I don't have sense the luxury of sensory reinforcement, but I accept it by faith. And that when I step out of my prayer closet, he'll reward me openly. And by reward, he'll have something for me to have, to give, to offer, to share, to connect with. I believe God will increase the spiritual momentum in your life. I believe God will increase the exploit opportunities in your life. I believe he's going to put us in high advantage with this. There's a great advantage to connecting with God. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Let's all stand up and read this in the bulletin. Stretch your legs. You'll gain 3/4 of an inch. Draw near to God. Every day, take your stand. Having done all to stand, stand firm. God has answers for you. I've lived with Patsy for many years. She's results-oriented, very much so. And she knows that God's answers are available to us. They do not elude us. They're there for us. And it's for the asking. He said, you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. So we need to learn to, like what John said, we have confidence before him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And you know, his word is his will. He wants the world to come to know Jesus. He wants the believer to prosper. He wants your family to come into the fullness of the gospel. He wants prodigal kids to return to the Lord. He wants cities to be changed. He wants righteousness to exalt a nation. He wants us to pray for our leaders and those in authority. Father, move on the Obama family. Minister to them. Bless those daughters and that wife and that president. Help them, help them, help them. We shield round about them. Anoint them to make right decisions. Anoint them to go beyond previous biases and do the best for our nation. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And I pray you would take hold and guide him. Guide them. Guide them by the Holy Spirit into what the purposes of God are for our nation. The purposes of God are for the church. The purposes of God are for Israel. The purposes of God are for the nations of the world. And we push back the darkness and we trust you and we go into the place of secret, and the Father that sees the secret will reward us openly. Hey, I came to church and the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge about a football player having a spinal cord injury 45 minutes before it happened. We prayed, coverage on that guy. He, as a church, you could have heard a pin drop. People were looking at me like, how long are you going to go today, Pastor Jeff? God gave us a download. He felt it in his perspective that we could handle a duty like that. So we prayed it. And then Don Davis, who works with the Players Association, knows the chaplain of that particular team, who is a Christian, and that family, that player's mother, was a believer. So we sent the CD of us praying for her son 45 minutes before he got hurt. Also, there was a man in Florida watching the TV show. He had recently developed an understanding as a doctor that if you put ice on that wound early enough, it can abate paralysis. And it was a groundbreaking new idea of medicine. And so he knew where the guy was taken. He called the ER. He said, hey, I'm Dr. So-and-so. This is something that's working for us all these thousands of miles away. Do this within the next 15 minutes and it could save this guy's mobility. And so God did that. We had a guy in our church who went to Mexico on a conference. This guy is actually a rocket scientist. He went with his medical friend at this conference. He was invited to go and they were buddies, so they went. He actually met the doctor who picked up the phone from Florida, who I'm convinced was prompted by our prayers. He walked up to the guy and explained the backstory to the man that made the phone call that was so vital to help the football player. Have I lost any of you? Is this making sense for you? This is what my family has to live with. The doctor was like, he kind of backpedaled like, oh, because our guy was saying, you know, this is the God part of the story. And the medical guy's going, there's a what? There's a God part to the story. And if you go into the, listen, here's what I'm convinced of. You get in the secret place a little bit every day. Keep your heart strong. It's going to increase the skill level, perception level, so you don't bank and flip over the plane. You could fly with instruments. You could be led by the Holy Spirit. God will use you in a special way, in a more precision way. And how many of you want to lay hold of some of that? How many of you want to see some greater things happen on your job? God use you in a special way. God use you out there in the public with people. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. I went to a Christian bookstore. I bought a book. I still haven't been able to read this book all the way through. Every time I get this book, God has me give it away. I think I got through two chapters before I bought several copies of it. I bought this copy of this book, and my friend was driving down the road. We drove past a bar in the middle of the day, and there was a tree out in the parking lot, and a woman was sitting under the tree. And when we drove by, my heart prompted. We've got to turn. I said to my friend, turn around. We've got to talk to that lady. We turned around. He said, what lady? I said, there's a lady sitting in the parking lot of the bar under a tree. We pulled back there. She was sitting on the ground, leaning her back up to the tree. We drove into the parking lot. We pulled over. We walked up to this lady. She was mildly drunk. In the middle of the day, that's not a good sign. But not so drunk that she was incoherent. She was fully understanding. I said, ma'am, listen, we're Christians, and we drove by and I saw you, and I felt like I was supposed to come and encourage you that Jesus really loves you, and what you're praying for, he's got answers for you. And she started to cry. She said, there you are. There you are. She kept saying, there you are. I said, yeah. She said, last night, I cried out desperately for God to help me. And I asked him to send somebody, and there you are. My preaching for results is that you understand that there you are, getting in the secret place, connecting with God. We all know we're not all that. This is not designed to, hey, I'm such a spiritual dynamo, I'm like Superman. I'll go in as Clark Kent, I come out as Superman. No, it's drawing near to God, being available as an earthen vessel. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the glory would be of God, and not of us. Not unto us, O Lord, but to thy name we give glory. See, some of you are sensing this. It's stirring in your heart. You want to be effective. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's in the context of prayer. God wants to use you in a special way in somebody's life. This message, something's resonating in your heart. Be available to the Holy Spirit. When the Lord prompts you, write him a note, send him a text, make a phone call, however, or email, whatever it is, send him a gift, whatever it is. Just follow the witness in your spirit and pay attention to it. You could even check and say, now, am I just making this up? And God will help you to be able to discern and differentiate that. God wants to use you. I can sense you're connecting with this, and I know you want to do that. I believe you're poised for it, and God's going to use you in a special way. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands on our heart. We let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, abusive speech be put away from us. We forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven us. We walk in love as beloved children. We commit to the love walk. We commit to obedience. Help us not to be stubborn and obstinate. Help us not to be wayward. Help us to be spirit-taught, spirit-led, highly sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I come against the mind-numbing barrage of the enemy over people's lives, and I pray peace. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Say this with me. I'm usable. I'm a doer of the word. I draw near to God, and I find rest for my soul. As I seek him with all my heart, I find him. I receive all the answers and the direction I need from him. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I reject fear, and I replace it with boldness and courage from the presence of God. Say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Did you find some rest for your soul tonight? Did you take a little minute vacation from stress and oppression? Listen, as you go out to your car, connect with God. Fellowship with Him. Trust Him. Let Him develop you and the nuances of your personality, your particular gifting. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God happens to love you, and He happens to get a real kick out of you, and He happens to want to do great things through you. This is the gospel I know. Jesus is interested in investing big things in each one of us and manifesting and displaying and showing Himself strong through us. We're a fragrant aroma of Christ. We're designed to be co-laborers, joint heirs. We're carriers of the presence of God. And He has an anointing and a gift for each one of us. And He wants to use you in a special way. And there are lost, empty, unhappy, broken, dissatisfied, lost souls out there that need you to walk by filled with God and smile and shine upon them, pray for them, learn from Him, and then give to them and care for them. I pray this becomes contagious and impacts the entire world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Turn around and say hi to some people you've been ignoring. Tell them the best is yet to come.